Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Christ has come as the High Priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Yesterday, our men's group took a trip up to Trinity in Milwaukee to see a beautiful sanctuary built by our own Missouri Synod ancestors and watch as it is restored. We also went to St. Josaphat's Basilica in Milwaukee, and up there in Latin, it says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." Jesus is the dwelling place of God, and he has come to be with us men, who for us and our salvation, he came down from heaven. He came down to tabernacle with us, to dwell with us. And in a way that we cannot comprehend, he is fully God and yet fully man. In a way that logic denies, this is who Jesus the Christ is. And he has come to be the high priest. In the Old Testament, we saw an institution of sacrifices, animal sacrifices, pointing forward to the hope of redemption to take away the sins of the world. All of those sacrifices, though, point to the Messiah. Whether it was the goats or the lambs, whether it was the turtle doves of purification, whether it was the lambs of the Day of Atonement, the ones that would symbolically have the sins of the people placed upon them to be led out into the wilderness of one and the other to be slain at the altar. Whether it was the Passover lamb slain to be without imperfection, without broken bones, without spot or wrinkles, this would be a perfect lamb. A lamb whose blood would be shed, and that blood would then mark the doors of the faithful, so that as God sent his tenth and final plague, the angel of death would pass over that house. All of these sacrifices point us to Jesus. Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the perfect lamb. The one without spot, without wrinkle, who is sacrificed to atone for the sins of the people. Not just the Hebrew people, but for all people, as he had grafted the Gentiles in as well. For his promise, as we heard today in Bible study, that the descendants of Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. This is all by God's mercy and his grace. And so as our Passion Tide begins, we are reminded of our Lord's death for us. We are gearing up these last 2 weeks for the celebration of Easter. But for now, the cross of Jesus Christ is marred from our eyes as we wait with hope for the day of his crucifixion. And as gory as that might sound, that is our hope. That is our trust. We believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross to die for us. He is the substitute. He is the all-atoning sacrifice. He is the high priest, the perfect tabernacle, not made by hands. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain, not the blood of the goats or the calves, but his own blood allows us to enter into the most holy place. His own blood obtains our salvation and redemption. In our prophecy for today, we hear of Abraham being told by God to take his son, the son that God had promised, the son that Abraham had prayed for and longed for, to take his son up into the mountain to sacrifice him. Nowhere else do we see God give this sort of command throughout the scriptures. In fact, this sort of sacrifice God abhors. He abhors the death of his saints. He abhors these things, and yet he commands it. Yes, in the book of Judges, when everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes, God's judge Jephthah will make a rash vow that if God turns them into his hands, that he will sacrifice the first thing that comes out of his door. But God did not command Jephthah to promise that, to vow that. But sadly, the first thing that came through his door was his only daughter. But remember, this is when everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, and this was not commanded by God. It should teach us a lesson to tame the tongue, to make vows and promises to God only when we trust in him, not to make them rashly, that our yes would be yes and our no would be no. But in our story for today, God has commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac up on the mountain. Now, of course, we know that he has another son, Ishmael, but this is not the son of promise. This is the son that Abraham took for himself when his wife Sarah did not fully trust in the promise. She looked at logic and she said, "You're nearly 100 years old. I am nearly 90 years old. There's no way we could have a baby." But God makes all things possible. And so when he set the time, God brought forth a son, Isaac. But now God has said, "Abraham, take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me so that I may know that you truly trust me." Abraham then takes his son. He takes the wood that he has chopped. He has his son help him carry these items up on the mountain. He lays the altar down, ready to sacrifice his son. He stretches him out. He takes the knife. And before he can go any further, God proclaims from heaven, "Abraham, stop. Now I know that you trust in me because you have not withheld your son, your only son, the son that I promised you, from me." And God shows him instead a substitute, a ram caught in the thickets to be sacrificed. That is the day that Abraham got to see that the Lord provides. He provides a substitute. It's not his son that is sacrificed, but rather his son that is sacrificed. The Father sends his only begotten son to die in our stead. All of those substitutes point forward to Jesus, the Passover lamb, the lamb of atonement, the ram caught in the thickets, in the thorn bushes, the same thorn bushes that would grace his head in his sacrifice. Abraham rejoiced to see that the Lord provides. Yes, he trusted. Now, whether that means he believed that God was going to provide that sacrifice before he did it, whether it's that he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead if he took him from him, I don't fully know. But what I do know is that Abraham was a man that trusted God. He was a man that obeyed God and a man that did believe in the resurrection that was to come. I thank God that he did not have to go through with it, and that instead, the death that I deserve, the death that Abraham deserves, the death that Isaac deserves, the death that Jacob deserved, that death is placed on the Son of God. When I will look upon that cross once again on Good Friday, I will be reminded of what he did for me. And that is the image of the crucifix. Whether it is an empty cross or a cross with a corpus, that is a body on it, this is a symbol of Christ's death, his sacrifice. The empty tomb is the symbol of his resurrection. And boy, do we look forward to that empty tomb. Yes, we are reminded and we preach Christ crucified, but we also rejoice in the resurrection that is Jesus. That because he is raised, we shall be raised also. He is the tabernacle. He is God indwelling with man. And he's with us today. He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. This is now ours, dear Gentiles who are grafted in. This is now ours, not because of who we are, not because we're the descendants of Japheth, but because of who God is. Because his promises are always true. This is our hope, the substituting lamb, the one who is the replacement. The voice of God proclaims, "You trust me, obey me, follow me. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." His descendants possess the gate. God will keep a remnant faithful in his land so that the Messiah would be born to die for the sins of the Hebrew people and the Gentiles alike. Abraham trusted in it and he obeyed. Noah trusted in it and he obeyed. You trust in it and obey. When Jesus had come to do the will of his Father, those who had rejected the Messiah, even though they claimed to be praying for it their whole lives, when they reject the one that God has given, they accuse him of having a demon. They accuse him of being demon-possessed. Are we not right in saying you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus doesn't even grace their accusation of being a Samaritan, because it doesn't really matter so much where you come from, rather than the blood of Christ. He says, "I do not have a demon. I glorify my Father." If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. I have come from my Father to do his will, the will that you pretend to be waiting for. Jesus is very blunt throughout John's gospel. He tells them that they are to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. He tells them that Abraham's seed is found in the fulfillment of who he is, that he is God in the flesh, that he has proceeded forth from the Father. And he is very blunt when he tells them that you are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar. The devil is the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. He cannot make it much clearer. If you reject that Jesus is the Christ, you are from the devil. You worship the devil, well, whether you believe that or not. You are doing the devil's will. It is only faith in Jesus Christ that gives us salvation. It is only faith that his blood was shed and poured out over us that washes us thoroughly from our iniquities. And so he says, "Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words, therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. It should surprise none of us that unbelievers reject that the Bible is God's word. It should surprise none of us that unbelievers try to twist God's word and make you believe their lies. Hear his word. Trust his word. Follow it. And when you fail, trust that his sacrifice on his cross covers your sins. Are we not right in saying you have a demon? Who are you? We know your father. Your father is Joseph. You are not sent from God. You are not the Messiah. And why do they believe he is not the Messiah? Because he's not doing what they expected him to do. But they should have expected him to do what the scriptures, the prophecies of old, said that the Messiah would do. I do not have a demon. I honor my Father. You dishonor me. Jesus did not come to seek his own glory. He came to do the Father's will. We as Christians do not go out in the world to make a name for ourselves, but that others may see the light of Jesus in us and glorify not us, but him who sent us out into the world, Jesus, who was sent by his Father on the mission of the cross. Jesus said, "If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Well, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God, yet you have not known him. But I know him, and if I say I do not know him, then I am a liar like you. I know him, and I keep his word. I know it's impossible for us to perfectly fill God's will, to perfectly hear his word and do it. And yet he has called us to strive to do just that. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Jews say, "You're not even 50 years old. There's no way you were alive at the time of Abraham." But most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Ego e mi are words that have been written on multiple boards throughout this church over the years. They are the Greek words, I am. Jesus is the great I am. Jehovah, Yahweh, is the great I am that I am. And when Jesus says these words, he is proclaiming that he is the divine Yahweh. He is the one who was from the beginning. He is the word by which the heavens and the earth were made. He is the one who has come to undo sin, death, and the devil. Those gathered there that day heard his words, and they believed what he had to say, but they rejected it. They believed that he was saying exactly what you hear those words to mean, that Jesus is God in the flesh. But to reject that means to desire the death of him and those that he sends. Don't be deceived in believing that the Jews who have rejected Jesus think of Jesus as a nice moral teacher. Don't believe the lies of the Jehovah's Witnesses that claim that Jesus never said he was God. Don't believe those lies, because when you read throughout the scriptures, you see very clearly they hear him, they understand what he's saying, and they pick up stones to kill him for blasphemy. But it was not yet his time. And Jesus was not committing blasphemy, because he is who he says he is. His time had not yet come. He had more teaching to do. He had more people to draw to himself. And so as they picked up those stones, Jesus hid himself and goes out of the temple. He goes through the midst of them and so passed by. His time had not yet come. But when the time came, Jesus prayed to his Father fervently and said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." and like a sheep led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He went, he was sacrificed, and he died for the sins of the world, sins of yours and sins of mine. Let us look forward to the hope of the resurrection that is to come as the church sings. And when, dear Lord, before thy throne in heaven, to me the crown of joy at last is given, where sweetest hymns thy saints forever raise thee, I too shall praise thee. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.